Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Bailey.
And I'm Ty. Welcome to Cult Talks Conspiracy.
Before we unseal this file, we wanted to fill you in on some really exciting news.
For as little as $3 a month, you can be a part of our pursuit to hashtag question everything by clicking the support the show link found in the show notes of each episode.
Your support would mean the absolute world to us and help us dive deeper into the mind-blowing conspiracies you, Ty, and I all love.
Thank you for joining us, seeking the truth, and as always, question everything.
You're listening to a Cult Talk Network podcast.
For 31 days, the dead walk among the living. Things that go bump in the night no longer hide the shadow. And your darkest fears leave your mind and stand before your very eyes. A shiver up the spine, a sting on the neck, a howl in the night. This is Cultober, and this is Cult Talk Conspiracy. Welcome, all you believers, idealists, skeptics, and all those who question the universe around them. I'm Ty.
And I'm Bailey.
And this is Cult Talks Conspiracy, Werewolf Encounters, part two of our episode every week through Cultober that we're doing.
I'm a little upset with you because you did not properly intro this episode. You have to do it.
I'm sure my arm will get twisted at some point to do it. And as promised, we do have, as with last week, we had very special guests, our friends, the Farthest Reaches podcast. We have some special guests on this episode. I'm sure if you're familiar with Cult Talk Net, you should be familiar with Cult of Lore.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
I'm apparently here with some people. Hey,
everybody. They're a little shy today.
Yeah, act like they've never done a podcast before.
I know.
Listen. I hit my mark. I'm standing where I'm supposed to. I said what I'm supposed to say, when I'm supposed to say it, God damn it.
It's like herding cats sometimes. We just have to, you know, go with the flow of things.
Well, if some of our listeners haven't heard Cult of Lore before, who do we have here with us? Introduce yourselves.
Hi, guys. I'm Ben.
I'm Eric.
And I'm Jerry.
That's how we do that.
There they are. That's Cult of Lore. That's our long-form Warhammer 40K and just deep dive lore-based podcast. Cult of Lore as part of the Cult Talk Network.
Gigantic.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. The very rabid fans or very nitpicky fans.
Nitpicky. We love our nitpickers.
Some of the comments I see on YouTube are just mind-boggling. The depth of information these people have on this stuff. It's pretty impressive, though, I will say. Not to anyone's detriment. It's very impressive.
Yeah. Thanks for having us onto your show, guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We decided we wanted to do this month, make things a little special. We're doing these encounters episodes and figure it would be fun to bring on some guests and make the episodes that much more special. So, and here we haven't had you guys on an episode yet. I think you've had me on one of your episodes. You had Bailey on an episode or two of yours.
Yeah.
So figured only fair to have you guys on for Cultober and talk about werewolves, which you guys did a very awesome werewolf lore episode last year as part of Cultober.
So. Hell yeah, it had a really awesome narration to it. We brought in a professional movie theater announcer and he just, you know.
Yeah, it's all right.
Put that extra stick on it.
Yeah, it's all right.
He was wonderful. He was wonderful.
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, if you guys want to check out that, definitely check out Cult of Lore. And also that the full video, that's really good. Eric did a really good job animating the intro for that at youtube.com/culttalknet.
Why, thank you. I was quite inspired by our narrator's rendition of the line. It was fantastic.
It was, right.
It's pretty good. It's all right.
It's right up there with four stories 7 years ago.
I have been called the voice of a generation a time or two. So
is that right?
Really?
Somewhere.
What generation, Jerry asked.
The greatest generation.
The greatest generation.
Really pushed out the Nazis, huh?
Oh, yeah. So
today we're talking about werewolves. Only fitting to have you guys on after that fantastic werewolves episode last year. So with this, what we're going to talk about, real life encounters with werewolves, legends and lore and myths and all that stuff that involves supposed real life encounters with werewolves. And I think Bailey, I think you're going to kick us off, right?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's hear it.
We are going to be going to Michigan, which is a very lovely, near and dear place in my heart. But we're not going to be talking about some of my favorite places today in Michigan. Instead, we are going to be talking about the Michigan Dogman. Has anyone heard of the Michigan Dogman?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Not. Jerry has not. Eric?
I am kind of familiar with the Dog Man from research for something or other along the way.
Probably our werewolves episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's actually a very famous, it's called the Michigan Dogman Triangle. That's what they call it up there. There's it branches over into, I think, northwestern Ohio a little bit. The whole Great Lakes area, pretty much. There's a vast number of dogman sightings.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin, too. He's seen a lot in Wisconsin.
Texas has a pretty big dogman triangle, too.
That's because everything's bigger in Texas, including their dogs. So. I feel like something went straight over my head. Anyway, so.
It's just dangling there, babe. That's all.
Woof.
Oh, so the Michigan Dogman, he's pretty interesting because his lore spans all the way from the late 1800s all the way up until present day. So the legend behind the Dogman is he is a part man, part dog that has been seen throughout Michigan and parts of Wisconsin. At the time of writing this, I did not know about the sightings in Ohio, so I really want to look more into that now as well.
There's always room for a part two, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So he is described as being 7 feet tall. However, there is a song out there that we're going to talk about, which specifically states that he was 7'4" tall. How they got a ruler up to him, I'll never know. And he 7 foot tall, maybe a little slightly over, has yellow eyes, howls like a human. It howls like a human scream, and is very agile. So can move and, you know, be sneaky. And I mean, for something to be over 7 foot tall and be agile and sneaky and, you know, kind of a sleuth, it's kind of like, okay, that's scary. Like that always freaks me out when big things can sneak around. I'm like, no, you're too big. That defies physics. I don't like it. No.
Yeah,
Make noise.
If you ever see any of those stories where people are hiking and then they just look up and boom, there's a bear, you're like, fuck.
Yeah, no. we don't fuck with bears in the Frost House over here.
I
find them beautiful, Ben finds them terrifying.
Yeah. Bears are I'm racist against bears. Fuck them.
That's specious, not racist.
What species? Whatever. Fuck them. Absolutely fuck them. They swim, they climb, they run, they're strong, they're thick.
They do cocaine.
We got to cover that one.
They fuck them. Absolutely fuck them.
Yeah, I read a book of bear attacks once. It was one of the most horrific things I've ever read.
Oh, they're brutal.
You don't need a horror movie.
They tear off your
face
and leave you alive.
Yeah, they're like one of the only land mammals that intentionally tries to capture its prey alive so that it can eat it alive. Like it purposely breaks your back so that you can't run. Like fuck them. Absolutely fuck them.
It does the head on the stick.
Yeah, it makes it absolutely. It wolf creaks you. Anyway.
But men working in these areas of Michigan as well as Wisconsin, the men who work in these native woods have mostly encountered the dogmen. All of the encounters result in a terrified feeling as well as very much confusion and sort of state of what did I just see?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. So one interesting fact is the frequency in which the dogman appears. It is common legend that the dogman appears every 10 years and typically on years that end in a 7. So 2007, 2017, possibly 2027. I don't know. We're gonna wait 4 years and find out.
Seven is a number that I have found associated with werewolves more
really?
Than once.
Yeah. Really? Interesting. Yeah.
Like seventh son of a seventh son. Stuff
yeah,
like that.
There we go. That's I was trying to dig into it. I was like, I know there's something there with sevens, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I think there's more too, but yeah. You know, off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Let us know in the comments section when you go back and listen to our werewolves. Did we cover any of that or not?
I think
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I think.
Oh, right on. Well, there you go. More reason to check out our old shit.
So, which we'll link that below as well, so that you guys have an easier time checking that out. So the legend of the dog man, the legend of the dog man. So Steve Cook wrote a song, and I believe in 1970. Pause for research. But Steve Cook wrote a song called The Legend of the Dog Man Song. And it actually came out in a year ending with a seven in 2017. And it was basically a song that explained the legend of the dog man. And it's a fun song. It's, you know, pretty country. It definitely tells a story. And the response of this song was way different than what Steve had thought was going to happen. He definitely wanted it to resonate with listeners, but it resonated with them in a totally different effect. People began recounting their stories of seeing the dog man instead of just enjoying the song.
Cool.
So now, from 2017 on, we have all of these stories of people who have gone out in the woods, have hunted in these woods, have built things, you know, God forbid, poached, but we all know what happens. Seeing the dog man, which if you're out there poaching and you see the dog man, that's karma working for you.
Yeah, but I'll say if a person starts their story, you know, they're coming to me and they're like, hey, I saw the Michigan dog man, and they start their story with, listen, I was out there poaching, I admit it. That ends at a level of believability to me that I'm not going to extend to other people.
Mm-hmm. That's the story.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're willing to talk to that, you're like, listen, yeah. I understand that I was doing something bad, but a goddamn werewolf. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I, you know, hey, all right. No. I'm listening.
Yep. One of the lines of the song is, he let out an earthly scream and stood on two legs. Now, just bookmark that. Because we're getting ready to talk about a family, one father and two of his sons, one elder, one younger. Unfortunately, we don't know the names of the father and his son. So you'll hear me relate to them as, you know, father, eldest son, youngest son. So this happened in Yuma, Michigan in 2010 in November. Father and two sons went on a hunting trip, and one of the sons would be pretty much sanctioned in a high tower looking over the valley where the dad and the other son would be hunting in this valley. So they pretty much set up like their tower is kind of like their main base for, you know, deer hunting and being able to look off and see everything. And then the father and the younger son would be off in this valley. And they had a light system that they had worked out because it was starting to become nighttime, and the oldest son was to shine his flashlight at the top of this tower to indicate that the son or the youngest son and the father needed to come back. So they had this system worked out. So the older son would be in the tower when he started to hear rustling below him. He actually looked down, trying to make out if it was his younger brother or his father coming back to the tower. Like maybe they needed something, maybe they spotted something, maybe they even needed a rest. So the eldest son, after looking down and not seeing his brother or his father there, then decided to look through the scope of his rifle to see if there was a deer or a raccoon or any kind of other animal that could be causing this rustling below him. So when he looked down, he actually did see something. And from what he could see, he thought it may be a bear, judging from the fur, and it was turned in a way to where he could see the snout, which was a very long, narrow snout, much like a bear. So further confirming to this oldest son, okay, this is a bear. Okay, I'm not going to freak out. It's down here. I'm up here. It's fine. And I got a gun. It's cool.
That don't make you sick. Hackers can climb. Mm-mm. Listen, you just shoot it. Just shoot it. I know there's going to be a lot of like, people be like, don't do that. Fuck you. It'll eat you alive.
I mean, if you ain't fucking with it, I mean, I would imagine.
It'll still fuck with you.
Listen, I abide by the rules of don't want none, won't be none. If you come for some, they're going to be some.
Yeah. So, you're up in that tower, and I think it's just like, hey,
food.
I don't even think it's that they go food. I think they just go, what the hell is that up in the tree? Oh, I can go check. I'm going to go check. And all of a sudden you're fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there are bears in Michigan.
So oh, yeah.
You may get some people from Michigan that are like, we love our bears.
I'm sure they do. That's why they can stay up there.
There's Oswald's Bear Ranch up there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Well, Oswald's a fucking idiot.
He's kind of a big bear of a man himself. He's a tall, sturdy
guy. Go to the club like a normal person.
I think most of his bears are like rescues.
Anyway, so the older son would then notice that not only was the animal standing up on two legs, the legs were actually skinny and resembled that more of a dog than it did of a bear. So he would continue to watch the animal through his scope as it turned and made its way toward the tower. So it's trying to pretty much at this point figure out a way up to the tower, or at least investigating what is up there.
See to me?
So eventually the dog man would be directly underneath the floorboards where the oldest son was standing on. And then looking through the cracks of the floorboards, the oldest son could clearly see that it had the face of a dog. But based off the size and the prone nature, it absolutely couldn't be. It defied what we know dogs to be like, standing on their, you know, four legs. And also you got to think, how high up are these towers? They're like 8-10 feet in the air where this floorboard would be, and it's standing up and it can see its face like right underneath of the floorboard. So I mean, it's big. Whether or not it's like straining itself to make itself a little bit bigger, it's big enough to where we can clearly see its face through the floorboards. Yeah. It's a beef one.
No.
How do you not just shoot on reflex?
I know. Like, how, yeah.
You're shooting through your floorboard.
I don't know.
Right in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I would.
Here there'd be monsters. Fuck the floorboard.
Yeah. Like every time they're like, it was a Bigfoot and I didn't shoot it, I was like, why? Like, listen, guys, if you're listening and you're like, I'm going to go prank somebody in a Bigfoot costume, if it's me, I'm bagging your ass. I'll pull up South Park. Coming right towards me and I'll shoot. We got to get a body. That's what everybody wants. Nobody wants to take the shot. So what if it's a man in the mask? Well, their time has come.
No. The risk.
Yeah. Don't play hunters, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't. That's a bad plan.
Yeah. The woods are a terrifying place. Don't fuck around in there.
There's places that things won't fuck back. Anyway.
So the son would remain quiet while making sure to continue to see this animal through his scope. So he's still got his rifle on it because he's looking at it through his scope still. So after some time, the dog man would eventually lose interest in the tower and possibly its dinner after several minutes. So it's like, okay, this is not fruitful. I'm going to go find something else. So the son would then signal with his flashlight at his younger brother and father in the valley, alerting them that they needed to come back to the tower. So after a few moments, all three men would be reunited at the tower, inside the tower. And once they were all together, all three of this men, father, son, both sons, they would all confirm that they saw the same animal in the woods. They very quickly, after determining this at night, gathered what they had brought with them, left the tower in the woods, and the three men have never returned to these woods to hunt in since.
Damn.
So, and I mean, it's pretty crazy. Like, there's accounts of, you know, a family in Wisconsin who have also seen similar sightings of this. You get people from all over the woodwork who are, you know, near these heavily wooded areas who have seen the dog man. And there's a big difference between like the dog man and the werewolf, because with the werewolf, you kind of get like, okay, they transform back into human. From all accounts that I can find with the dog man, it's more like this thing just is what it is. Like, there's no shape shifting or anything like that. This is just a ginormous dog that can scream like a human and is incredibly huge and has yellow eyes. So,
There's a lot of debate, like in the cryptozoology world, about because dogmen. If you really look, dogmen sightings, although there are like some in the past, it's like a relatively like recent cryptid. Just started. Like it's like the last few decades these things have really been popping up a lot. So there's a lot of debate in the cryptozoology world about whether or not these things have just been around for a long time. but they just kind of all, like sightings and encounters with them just got kind of lumped in with Sasquatch, you know, reports. So that's a big thing in cryptozoology. So if you look, it's like dogmen just seem like all of a sudden now everyone's seeing dogmen, like in the 70s on. But yeah, people suspect that these things just been around for a really long time, but they just get mistaken as Bigfoot because of their size, their appearance.
Interesting. I never considered that before.
There is like three different types of squashes, what we're going to say, Sasquatches. There's the sort of humanoid Sasquatch, the sort of dog-like Sasquatch, and then there's even a bat squatch too. There's a Sasquatch that looks like a bat.
Yeah, that's out west.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bat squatches.
I think they have been around because there are tales from the late 1800s all the way up until now. So I know you're looking at me like, what is the bat squatch?
Eric and Jerry have clearly never heard of bat squatch before. They're like, what the fuck? It's exactly what it sounds like.
It really is.
Vengeance.
With wings. Yeah, it's got wings. It's pretty interesting. It's out west, I think, is mainly where it's at, if I recall.
There was sightings of it flying over Mount St. Helens before it erupted.
Yes.
That might have been Mothman, though.
It could have been.
I think
it could
have been
another Mothman.
Yeah, they could be. So there's the Owl of Cornwall, which you could potentially also be the same thing as Basquatch, which they could be confusing for as the Mothman. You know, all of these things are possible.
Ooh.
So that is what I've got on the Michigan Dogman. Kind of a short, sweet telling to keep you all questioning when you go into the woods.
There's a really great documentary. So Small Town Monsters. It's like a local Ohio group that do these. They do these really great documentaries. Like
they do. They're full time. Their documentaries are phenomenal.
There's which by the way, I don't know. This might. So like they release on Amazon Prime. Like they release them. It's like $9.99 to watch them. I don't know if people know this, but like the same day they release on Prime for like $10, they also release on Tubi for free. So I don't know how that is. Or they don't advertise it. Maybe I'm just like spilling the beans. But yeah, so the same day these things come out advertised for sale, they come out on Tubi for free. So if anyone's a fan of those, they don't advertise that, but it's a thing. So there you go. But there's a really great documentary they put out just last year called American Werewolves.
Ooh.
That's all about dogmen. That is a fantastic documentary. So
they also have one on the Beast of Bray Road, which is like tangentially connected.
Yes.
We're going to be hearing about at some point.
In that American Werewolves, which is where I got my story from when we get to it. But they also, there's like reports from like people who report like seeing Sasquatch and Dogman at the same time.
Oh,
like,
shit.
Like working together, like Dogman or like the bloodhounds of the Sasquatch.
Kinda. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really creepy.
I don't like that. I don't like them working together like that.
It's very creepy. Like imagine that, like sick not one, boy. But two. Yeah, exactly. But now we can go on. We're going to hear our first tale from our Cult of the Lord guys. I think you're going up now, right?
Hot damn.
Yes. All right.
All right. All right.
Has anybody here not heard of the Beast of Gévaudan?
I have not.
Werewolf episode.
We did. So we're going to be revisiting it here just because I have developed some new theories of my own, having done some extra research. So I wanted to revisit it and tell you what my new spin on it. And I was kind of talking to Eric about it. I actually think it's more wild. It's, well, maybe not more wild. That might be a bit of an exaggeration. Yeah. But if I'm right, I think it's as crazy as practically a werewolf.
Okay.
So anyway, the Beast of Gévaudan, I'm not going to try to do all the Frenchy names. There's a few that I'm going to try just out of posterity sake, but I'm just not going to. This is like the granddaddy of all werewolf stories. This is where we get a lot of kind of our classical idea of werewolves, where the silver bullet comes from, the women and children going after children. That's where this comes from. So anyway, this took place in 1764 all the way up to 1767. In France, in a little area called Gévaudan. If you've ever seen the movie Sleepy Hollow, those forests that were created by Tim Burton, that's a lot like what this place is.
Oh, it's, okay, cool.
So the rednecks in France go, oh, you're going out there, huh? Like this place, like when France was really modernizing, this place was practically forgotten. They did things basically two or three centuries behind everybody else.
Oh, wow.
It was cold. It was hard to grow crops. It's a really shitty place to live is what I'm trying to get at. And just one day, just in just a spring day in 1764, a 14-year-old girl came into town and she reported that she had been attacked by a giant wolf. She claimed that this thing was about the size of a calf. It was rust colored, so brown and kind of gray. It had a long brown stripe down the down its back, complete with a long tasseled tail, which wolves don't have. She claimed that its face was scrunched more like a pig's than a wolf's, so very kind of flattened up. This thing leapt. So that's a key important description there. Leapt at her when she was out, because she was out herding cattle. And that's another big theme, is this thing always seemed to attack people when it was dealing with livestock.
Okay.
So it leapt out at her and leapt at her several times as she was trying to get away from it, when the bulls of the cows and stuff actually started chasing it, managed to chase it away and save her life.
Wow.
Okay. That kicked off this whole thing. And within months, there was an attack a week, sometimes more. One lady, they actually were able to track where she was out gathering berries or whatever out in the woods. When she was chased, she was literally mauled and killed 2 feet from her doorstep.
Jesus Christ.
That's terrible.
I mean, they do say most accidents happen within a mile of your own home.
This was not an accident. Her throat had been ripped out to the point where she was practically decapitated.
Oh.
Wow. This worst was a case of suicide I've ever heard of.
So that I don't take up a lot of time, there were 210 attacks through this entire span. 113 deaths, 49 injuries, and only 98 of the dead were eaten.
Wow.
Oh, wow. 98 out of 200?
No, is that out of 113.
Movie,
is that movie The Cursed based on this? Like that one that just came out a couple years ago?
I don't know. I didn't see it. So maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah,
it's kind of similar.
Another key aspect of this is most of the victims were attacked at the throat. Their throats were ripped out to the point of decapitation. It went after women and children primarily, but men were attacked and killed as well. So this thing was just mauling everybody.
No discretion. There
was a group of four men that were attacked. I didn't bother writing down his name. His first name was Jacques. And after that, I saw FXQ and went, nah. him and his group of guys were out when they were attacked by this thing. They managed to get into a circle and defend themselves from it. This caught this account, because there was more than one witness at a time, caught the attention of King Louis the 15th. He declared Mr. Jacques a national hero, paid him $500, well, the equivalent of $500. The rest of his surviving men, he paid them $200, and then even funded their educations at the taxpayers' expense. They got a country-funded education after that.
I'm so glad the people paid for that.
Why? I don't know.
Anytime I'm here, I hear that it king or someone used taxpayer expense for something, I'm like, that was not yours to give. Sir?
Well, being king, actually, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does democracy that better the farmland?
Service to the crown.
Yeah.
Looks like that movie, The Cursed, is based on this. So if you guys ever check out The Cursed, it came out in 2021. It's pretty good.
Okay, cool.
So, very. But
also, to quote a very famous, very intelligent man, it's good to be the king. But, so in response to this, he sent dragoons, which, if anybody know what dragoons are light armored cavalry. I think sometimes they carry rifles, but primarily they're swords, pistols. The main bad guys from The Patriot, if you ever watch The Patriot with Mel Gibson, those guys on horseback that are riding into the battle and kind of breaking the lines, but they don't necessarily have heavy artillery. Those are dragoons.
Okay.
I couldn't find the exact number, but I did find an account that said that including the dragoons, Louis sent a force of 30,000 volunteers to try to track this thing down. Not all soldiers, but just this mass group of people.
30,000.
That's one. So I couldn't find a backing. Like, I couldn't find where they got this number, but that was the only number that I could find. So let me know in the comment section if you guys find something else and where. I would love to know it. 30,000 seems like a lot to me, but hey, who am I to argue with the king?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like the population of Chillicothe.
Yeah, but I mean, it could be like 100 dragoons and then, you know, the rest are starving peasants. He's like, hey, Wake up. Yeah. thing. when the Dragoons got down there, they actually found that the place was like wrecked. People weren't going to fairs have been canceled. People weren't going to outside. They weren't farming. Citizens were not allowed to own firearms because French. And so they were forced to try to defend themselves with spears and sticks and rocks. Several people had died in the attempt to hunt down the beast with these stupid, you know, cave dwelling weapons. And the Dragoons were really ineffective. They did manage to kill one wolf that they claimed was the beast right up until all the killings kept going. So
like a Jaws situation.
Yeah. Yes. This actually happened multiple times. It seems like Louis got really invested in taking this thing down. And so everybody under him was invested in telling him that they got it. He fired the Dragoons basically, and he hired a father and son professional wolf hunters. They had practically, I'm not going to try to pronounce the French names, but they were famous for practically wiping out wolves in Normandy.
Was their name Wow. Bad?
No. If it was, I would have gone out of my way to mention that. But they were like wolf exterminators. So they went and they tried a more stealthy approach, and they claimed to have shot it multiple times, but didn't kill it. And the king was getting even more upset because people were still dying through all of this. They even tried, and also they were adding extra pressure by pissing off the locals. Whenever somebody would die, they would leave the body because Jesus. They wanted to use it as bait. So they weren't allowed to bury their loved ones. And so this was really upsetting the locals as well. So he brought in, this is one guy that I am going to try to pronounce just because you want to put some effort in there. Francois Antonet.
You did pretty good there.
Yeah.
Sounded pretty Frenchy.
Yeah. He was the royal arms bearer and also master of the hunt, which is a really shitty way of saying when the king wanted to go hunt, this guy had to go in and like drive out the game right at him so that he didn't have to, you know, do things.
Oh.
He went and him and the sons got into an argument. They had conflicting ways of dealing with things. So the father and son ended up bouncing, and this kind of effectively ruined their careers. I mean,
that sucks. They're not cooperating.
Does it? Go fuck yourself. This is the most famous, like, this wolf is killing hundreds of people. You're the wolf guys, and you can't do it? Get out of here. Go away.
You know, they're dealing with the king's, like, hunt, you know, hoity-toity hunter guy who comes in.
And you took the job.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. A part of taking a job is you do have to deal with certain people that you otherwise would not be dealing with unless you had taken this job. And you understand that when you sign on for the job. I am paying you to deal with these people.
And this is 100% speculation, but I have some reasons to think this. I'm betting they didn't treat the locals very well.
Oh, probably. Aww.
So
why would they?
I'm beneath sure. them, yeah, I'm sure.
So Francois Antonet came in and he killed a 5'7", you know, 5'7" long, 130-pound wolf. And declared his job done and went home.
Hmm.
Yeah. He's like, all good here. He got it stuffed. He took it to Versailles, which is where the king was chilling out. The king gave him a nice, you know, big like howdy doody. He was all happy about it. Another guy that was with him decided to stay behind because they claimed to have saw a wolf, a female wolf with some pups. He claimed to have killed them, offered no proof whatsoever. He claimed that they had a double dew claw, which is a birth defect common to some large dogs, including Great Pyrenees, which Great Pyrenees were around then. So it could have been a wolf Great Pyrenees hybrid that produced the large size, if you believe their accounts at all. Right. Me personally, it sounds like this one dude shot the biggest wolf he could find, went back to the king, got his reward. The other dude tried to get as much reward as he could by claiming to do a thing that he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they went home. The crown considered it to be case closed at that point. Done and dusted, but the killings were still happening. So comes in Jean Chastel, who is our primary hero of the story. He's a nobody. He's a farmer. He is a professional like livestock tender. It seems like that was a job that he did. So he was allowed to have firearms because it pertained to his job. He claims to have killed the thing. You can find a picture of it. There is an actual like picture of it. It's, you know, obviously very old tin type. It looks like a goddamn hyena to me. But he claimed to have come across it in a search party and he shot and killed it. And what made his different was is that the story goes that he melded his bullets out of a silver medallion from St. Mary.
Oh, okay.
And that he recited a prayer and shot it with a silver bullet, and that's what brought it down. He then had it taxidermied and took it to the king, who promptly ridiculed him and burned the body.
Jeez.
Claiming that this guy was just trying to come in on the other dude's laurels and that they had already taken care of the problem. The reaction to this guy was ridiculous. The newspapers started claiming that this was all, that the whole thing, the entire thing was nothing more than a pack of wolves that these dumb peasants who couldn't read, didn't know any better. They had all just been confused and didn't know what a wolf looked like. And that they all, I mean, literally everybody involved that wasn't from this town just immediately turned and called all the peasants retards. Like, didn't know what you were talking about. You're all dumb. This was just wolves, go away. There was, but however, so to bring to my theory, I don't think this was a werewolf. However, this is the story where we get the silver bullet, the killing of children. This is where that started. I think it was a lion. But there were several what they called menageries back in France at that time. Menageries were basically traveling zoos.
Savo man eaters of France kind of thing? Or so
think about the description of the beast versus a lion. Rust collared with a brown line down its back, a long tasseled tail, and a scrunched up nose. This creature ambushed people and pounced, and wolves go for hindquarters, arms, shoulders. They try to drag their opponent, their prey down. Lions, large cats, go for the throat. Almost all of these victims' throats were rendered to the point of decapitation. It would also, as I was kind of talking this out with Eric, he pointed out that might be why they had such trouble hunting it. They were hunting dogs when they should have been hunting a cat.
Different methods.
Yeah,
would lead to different
It also explains the pouncing, where this thing wouldn't run its prey down; it would ambush and jump. That's very cat.
Yeah, and why it wouldn't disturb the deceased bodies that they left for bait. Cats are super picky.
Yep.
You know that for sure, don't you?
I sure do.
Luger over there.
So that is the Beast of Gévaudan.
That's beautiful.
Nice.
I like that lion theory.
It came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, that rings pretty. That sounds pretty right to me. And they would have no fucking idea what that thing was.
So there were references. Me and Eric were talking about this. There were references and drawings of lions. If you look at the drawings, A, they're not super accurate. But B, you really have to understand how isolated this town was. These people were way far back compared to everybody else. So even if there were pictures and descriptions of lions, there's every real possibility these people never heard of it.
Right.
And they would have never come across reference.
Any sort of documentation that would give them an idea of what that was.
However, if this thing was brought down by a silver bullet...
But did it get brought down because the bullet was silver, or just because it was a bullet? Then becomes the question.
Or because of the blessing and the fact that it was a saint medallion,
Mary's
could be the faith.
Could be.
Yeah.
So there are reports of this thing being shot multiple times, stabbed with spears, bludgeoned with rocks. This thing took a lot of damage it's not outside the realm of possibility that he got just that shot that landed.
All right.
Yeah, that lucky shot.
But nevertheless, theories go all over the place to this being a lion, a werewolf, obviously. Spotted fucking hyena for some reason. Again, the hyena one pops up a lot, and I'm just like, okay. But there's no reports of... So I would think that a hyena would... Hyenas make very specific sounds that even... I would expect, the thing giggles like a demon or something, you know?
Yeah.
I would expect some weird...
It's very distinct.
I would expect. And there's zero reports of this thing making strange noises. So I just can't... I could do the menagerie theory into the hyena, right? But also, hyenas, I don't think, are particularly known to go for the throat. They're not very pouncy.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they're not really powerful enough to be going after, cattle by themselves.
Well, so that's the weird thing. It went after people that were tending cattle. There's no reports of it going after cattle. There's no animal deaths.
This thing
was specifically targeting human, just like the Salvo man-eaters.
Okay.
Very interesting theory. I wasn't expecting that.
So that's mine.
That's yours. we'll go ahead and go on the mine now. Right. So I got this actually from, I never heard about this prior to watching that American Werewolves documentary that Small Town Monsters did. Heard about it. It's really interesting. So have you guys ever heard of a place called Land Between the Lakes in Kentucky?
No.
Okay. So that's where we're going. No. That's where we're going.
Is this the place where they make the butter?
No, that's Land of Lakes.
Oh, darn.
That's where is that? That's out west, right? It's Wisconsin, maybe Minnesota, something like that. Don't they call one of those states the Land of the Lakes?
Land of a Thousand Lakes. Paul Bunyan
yeah.
made those.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
We covered that in our Tall Tales.
There you go. Cold get more lore. Wrap this episode into a few episodes of Cold of Lore.
Fuck yeah.
It's all connected.
Paul Bunyan's a werewolf.
He might be. He did have a pet.
Pet blue ox.
Yeah. I don't
know if turned into a werewolf. Yeah.
Have you ever seen that Paul Bunyan horror movie from a few years back?
No.
Oh, that's really good. Oh
my god, I remember it though. I haven't seen it.
It's actually pretty good. It's a pretty decent movie. We
disagree on that term.
It's pretty decent. So we're going to Land Between the Lakes, designated in 1963 by President John F. Kennedy as a 171,000 acre national recreation area.
Beautiful.
Land Between the Lakes sits between Lake Berkeley and Kentucky Lake, which is why it gets its name. It's just a state forest and it's in between two big lakes. So that's where it gets its name. It sits between two lakes.
They were very creative.
Very creative. Very creative. You know what you're getting into when you go to Land Between the Lakes. You're going to be in land between two lakes.
Quite majestic, really.
It's an efficient way name things.
Man, there could be four lakes. You don't fucking know.
You just know when you're going there, you're going to at least be adjacent to some lakes.
Yeah, but nobody levels that shit. Nobody levels that critique at like Death Valley.
No.
I'm pretty sure
maybe they should. They should. If anyone goes on Death Valley and dies, it's like, how can I feel sympathy for you? You went to a place called Death Valley. You should be fully aware of what can and possibly will happen to you.
Like Dialogue Pass, it literally translates into the land of don't go there.
Yeah.
It's like, what Mount the fuck? Yeah, Mount Doom.
What are you doing? For hundreds of years, long before the first white settlers, Native Americans told stories of a half-man, half-wolf creature that roamed this land. It was suggested that it could have been the beast known as the Skinwalker. Skinwalkers are, of course, if you're talking about werewolves or dogmen, Skinwalkers are right there with them. These Caninian man beasts, they all kind of get mixed in with each other sometimes.
They're like cousins.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, basically.
Different breeds.
I guess, would they have different lore as well? Skinwalkers have a much different lore, right? Don't they?
Yeah, they have They have a very extensive lore and belief into them. We might talk about them on Conspiracy at some point in time.
Yeah, at some point, yeah.
There's
yeah. I'm sure there's possible. There's opportunities for it.
They're kind of closer to witches or shamans in a way.
Yeah, they're more mystical, right?
Yeah, they're like, what if a witch and a werewolf had a baby?
Yeah. So it would be known as the Beast of LBL. So the Beast of Land Between the Lakes.
LBL.
LBL. This beast is host to several legends, including the story of a man who in the early 1800s fled to the area after being banished from Europe. He suffered from a horrible affliction that caused him to go mad after sunset. So the sun would go down and he would just go mad. What do you call it? Sundowners.
Sundowners. This 80-year-old man be like, why am I leaving? I like my targets. And there he goes. Now he's just trapped in the woods. Where's my family?
It's the first.
Well, whatever it was, it was also genetic. So when he had offspring, apparently he found some woman who was willing to put up with his after sunset madness and had some kids with her. And the offspring also were afflicted with the same madness. So basically, I have a whole family of people who go mad or sunset, which I imagine like the poor wife or whoever gave birth to these kids, like she must have had one hell of a life.
Oh,
yeah. Because she would have been the only one that wasn't afflicted by this. So come sunset, she's like, Jesus, it's about to start. Like, Fucking everyone, just everyone in her whole fucking house just goes mad as soon as the sun goes down.
She was the original creator of the she shed.
She shed.
She needed a place to escape, so she made her own little. That was where the man cave came from. It was a cave to hide from the men.
Listen, we've had enough of them retroactively going back and claiming that women invented all the stuff that men did. The man cave belongs to us. You can't have it.
You can have your fucking she shed or whatever it is.
It's yeah, you can have she that. Shed sounds cozier.
Yeah. Around this area, hunters began to disappear, and they would night would fall, and this area would just echo wild howls throughout the night. Mutilated bodies of bison were found, half eaten, with deep claw marks, and their throats ripped completely out. So that was what was haunting this area. All of a sudden, around this area, it's just nothing good around there in land between the lakes.
Oh my God.
They began stories of something roaming the land between the lakes. And this didn't stay buried in history. You know, it happened that long ago, but it was far from, you know, one of those tales just vanishes to history. In 1973, a group of college students found themselves stalked by a large howling creature with red glowing eyes. This creature circled their campsite and seemed to not be alone as they began to hear wild howling all around them. The group grew so frightened that they took off in their van. As the group fled, they saw a massive shadowy figure in pursuit. As they slowed to make a sharp turn, the van came to a sudden jolting stop. For a moment, the van was stuck on something. Mm-hmm. The van broke free and the group was able to safely escape. Upon reaching safety, they inspected their van and found it had sustained deep claw marks along the body, like something was holding the van. And they tore free from it. Nice. This massive beast holding their van. It's a 1970s van. Those are big, heavy some bitches. So it had to be something pretty strong to keep that thing held.
At least for a minute. Steady.
Yeah. These students were lucky to have escaped. But one of the most popular accounts of encountering the beast of LBL occurred in the 1980s. Details of this encounter are very sparse, almost to the point that it seems like the details either don't exist or maybe they're being covered up.
Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
Ooh. You get the chills.
No, but my ears perked up. Nice. Cover up. I'm like, what? Cover up? Tell me more.
Park rangers patrolling the LBL area discovered an RV belonging to a family who were visiting the area on a camping trip. The RV was supposed to be home to this lovely family, but now it was a grisly scene, as it was covered in deep claw marks and completely soaked in blood.
Oh, no.
The mutilated bodies of the family were spread throughout the campsite.
I'm sure they're fine.
Yeah, they're probably right. You know, you cut, you get a cut, you panic, blood goes everywhere, but it's the end of the day, you're fine. The mutilated bodies of the family were spread throughout the campsite, each body torn limb from limb, and the half-eaten body of the young daughter was found lodged high up in a nearby tree.
Oh,
that ain't a fucking werewolf. That's a Wendigo. Werewolves don't hide shit in trees.
That's true. They no.
Oh, is that one of the Wendigo things? They hide things in trees.
The Wendigos, you divide them into the creature aspect and then like the demon aspect, right? Because it's kind of like a possession. But the creature aspect of it definitely has been known to hide stuff in trees for sure. Just like a shrike.
Quickly, the Park Service contacted local law enforcement, who, according to some conspiracy theorists, covered up the entire scene. At the time, this area of Kentucky was struggling financially. And local law enforcement knew that if a word of a massacre got out and news of a bloodthirsty monster roaming the forests was to get out, it would completely destroy the tourist business and cripple the area. More of that Jaws influence. The mayor, mayor of Jaws. After the events of Jaws 2, I think the mayor moved to Kentucky. he got finally away from water and the damn sharks.
Yeah, but you know what's stupid is I bet he's still wearing that blue anchor and
suits. Well, but this time it happened. He's like, I know what to do. Like, just
I know who
just,
I'm calling.
Just hush him. It'll go away eventually.
I was too honest with Jaws. I should have had it more.
Your brother just got me this time.
The explanation given was that there was a series of random stabbings, but no bodies were ever found. The area where the massacre occurred is called Moss Creek. And to this day, there has been a gate erected around this area, and overnight camping is completely banned.
No one
is allowed to be in the area after dark.
It's better to ask forgiveness than permission anyway.
Local authorities refuse to discuss any such incident. There's been many podcasters and I'm sure authors and stuff that have tried to probe into this supposed urban legend, but local authorities refuse to even entertain the idea that anything happened or if there was such an event that occurred.
It's just like the Casket Girls. Don't ask about it.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I did find there apparently was like a podcast out. This is just something I read like in brief detail, so I don't have a whole lot on it. There was a podcast that came out a few years back that apparently they're claimed to be a survivor of this massacre.
Oh?
See, apparently the family that got massacred, there was like a neighbor boy who they were like, he was friends with one of the kids or whatever. So he got to go along for the camping trip. And the way he puts it is, everything's going fine. There was camping, everyone's having fun. And I think it was the little girl was the first to go. She disappears. The family panics. They're looking around. They start hearing howls. Next thing you know, it's besieged by these beasts. This kid hides under the RV, and the beasts don't find him, but he watches as the whole family's massacred. He's left there. The local authorities found him and basically threatened him and swore him to secrecy until years later. He's an old man now. This happened in the 70s, so he'd be however old that is. And finally decided he wants to come forth and tell his tale. Or he's just some random guy who wants to make money.
Yeah.
But experienced hunters to this day avoid land between the lakes. People who venture in the area report feeling watched or stalked. Deep nest-like holes have been found all over the area with tufts of coarse gray hair inside. People refer to these as the bunkers. People will say, they find bunkers. Mm-hmm. It's like, something's camping out or hiding there. And sightings of the beast continue to this day, with descriptions being of a large 7-foot canine-like creature standing upright with claws, fangs, and glowing red eyes. And that is what is known as the Beast of LBL.
I got to know more about this connection with werewolves and the number 7. Like, yeah. We got to make like a short or something about that, because that is
7 feet tall.
Too weird to see in two different stories the number 7 popping up, because you and I didn't discuss this whatsoever. So that's really weird to me.
Yeah.
They all seem to be about 7 foot. Yeah.
Yeah. About 7 foot. Yeah.
And this, when I was watching that American Werewolves documentary, this land between the lakes is also like one of the areas where like hunters and park rangers report seeing like the Bigfoot dogman duos.
The team up.
The team ups. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so like I remember reading, there's like there's like two hunters who were hunting in the area. They go separate ways. They meet up later. They're both terrified. They're talking about things they saw, and it's like they're similar. But as they start talking more and more, it's like they're two completely separate creatures that they each encountered. So that's pretty wild.
There's your movie, Ty. We can go to Bulgaria and do Bigfoot versus Dogman.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do that.
Or Bigfoot and Dogman versus the world.
Oh, there you go.
Two star-crossed lovers against the world.
I like it.
We make it a romance like those. Have Bigfoot and the Dogman just making pottery.
Oh, just, there we go.
They just want to be left alone and a bunch of kids interrupt them.
Oh, gosh.
So now we're going to hear from Call to Lore's Jerry. What do you got for us, Jerry?
Hello, everybody.
What's up, babe?
I am so sorry, our dear listeners and our dear friends with Cult of Lore. I am going to have to leave on a very, very special assignment. Oh, so
Duty
does call, but I leave you in the tremendous care of Ty, who I know will take care of you. And listeners, I love you so much. I'm so sorry to have to leave you early, but duty does call. So love you all.
Yeah, no worries. We'll be back next week.
Absolutely. I will speak with you guys next week on the next episode of Cult Talks Conspiracy.
TTFN.
TTFN.
Ta-ta for now.
I hadn't heard that one before.
I was lost as well. I was like, I don't know what that means.
Nobody's watched Winnie the Pooh, man. That's Tigger.
Oh. I didn't know that was one of his catchphrases.
TTFN. Ta-ta for now.
We're pirating. The more you know, you'll learn all kinds of stuff on this episode.
Fuck yeah. We're here to educate. Internane. Hold on, let Jerry
We're readjusting some equipment.
We're cannibalizing materials.
Stand by here, stand by.
Jesus.
Yo. Oh,
it was a duck.
He fell.
Hang on, we have a dog on your cord. Here, actually, how about this?
Why don't you guys just switch mics?
Hello.
Hi. So the werewolf of Ansbach.
Ansbach?
Ansbach. Buck, buck. You guys ever heard of that one?
No.
Never heard of it. Sounds like a Star Wars
planet. It does. That's news to me. I don't think we covered this one on our episode.
No.
In 1685 is when this was happening.
1685.
In the Principality of Ansbach, which is in Bavaria. It's modern day middle of Germany.
Okay.
I think at the time it might have been the Holy Roman Empire.
Yes.
Yes.
It probably would have been.
Damn it. Yeah. Quit. You're like a split second ahead of me. Every time I go to say something, yes, Eric's got to just say, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ah, damn it. Yeah. Of course.
It's almost like we have overlapping interests or something.
Podcast brain.
It's one of those.
Podcast brain. So there was a wolf attacking livestock, you know, as wolves do.
Yeah.
Eventually, the wolf started killing some children.
As wolves do.
And then people were like, uh-oh. So then they were like, it must be a werewolf.
Yeah, of course. That's the natural next step. Yep.
Somebody was like, you know, it's probably that magistrate guy that died, the Burgermeister. Nobody liked him.
Burgermeister.
Yeah, a Burgermeister is somewhere between like a mayor and a ruler.
Okay.
I feel like
his name is the Burgermeister.
Burgermeister.
How did McDonald's go to?
Yeah, I know. I was gonna say that sounds like a defunct like McDonald's character. Like
yes. There's like a Christmas cartoon movie that has the Burgermeister in it. I can't remember the name of it, but let us know in the comments.
You think of a Heat Miser?
The Tale Before Santa Claus, according to Burgermeister, Meister Burger, according to Bailey, who's running out the door. Yes. There we go. Thank you, Bailey.
Excellent.
But she doesn't know TTFN.
You guys should do a lore episode on the McDonald's characters. I read apparently they have like a super deep lore for whatever reason.
Ooh,
all the characters like Hamburglar and all that. Apparently they,
I can see
McDonald's Bender. Fleshed out. McDonald's fleshed out their lore pretty big, I guess, in like the 90s with these.
Yeah,
like,
did you know that Grimace is a walking case, bud?
I heard that.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So whenever he's hugging children, he's licking them. He's tasting them.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Yeah,
we'll take it under consideration. Not because of that, but.
Well, I guess he has like a whole like family. Like there's like a whole like Grimace family that was in like a. It reminded me of like the Star Wars holiday special, how like they did like the.
Something like that. I saw a brief clip of it and it looks roughly. Do you ever see the dinosaurs TV show where it's like the I'm the baby?
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. I haven't watched that right now. That.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's fucking weird.
Huh. Oh, no. Yeah.
There you go. There's yet an episode, you guys.
There's yet another tidbit of.
People will be clamoring for that one. You guys should have done it around when that Grimace shake came out. That'd have been.
All right.
Super topical. But go on, Jerry.
His name was Michael Leit.
Okay.
Leit. Bavarian German name here.
Yeah.
Michael.
The Burgermeister Michael Leit. And I guess he was really cruel and hated and nobody liked him and people were like glad that he was dead. That like, wasn't enough though. So he had recently died and then they said that he has escaped death by transferring his soul into a wolf.
Okay. So
someone said they saw him attend his own funeral and
wow.
Yeah.
Creepy.
I would love to be able to do that.
As a wolf, he came out.
I think they.
As a wolf hanging out?
As like himself.
They meant his body, like him. Mm.
But the next sighting of him is him going back to his old apartment, like as a wolf.
Okay.
Like walking on two legs and draped in like a white linen. Like scaring away the tenants.
Well dressed.
Like, oh, there he is.
He's like, you know what? This werewolf shtick's just not doing it. But a ghost werewolf.
Yeah.
Yes. So anyway, the wolf must be hunted.
Of course.
They decided to hunt this wolf down and kill it. And they made a wolf scroob.
What's a wolf scroob?
A wolf scroob.
Is that a scrotum of a wolf?
Sounds like a made-up Dwight Schrute word.
It kind of does. It's like a pit that they made. You make like a hole with stone walls and you make it 3 to 4 meters deep, cover it with branches and straw.
Oh,
and
for the wolf to step in.
And then you bait it with something alive.
Disturbing.
So this time they baited it with a rooster.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There's and cocks. So
they got the wolf. The wolf fell in the trap and they killed it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
And the story would end there, but it doesn't.
Ghost werewolf won't be put down, motherfucker.
They really hated this guy. So they killed the wolf and they paraded it through the streets. And they're like, hey, we got the Burgermeister that was a dickhead.
Yeah.
Going to fuck his corpse.
They skinned the corpse of this wolf and then they cut off its muzzle. So cut off its face. So it's like short nosed.
Yeah. Disfigured it.
And then they put a wig on it.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
To make it look like him, and they give it a cloak, and then
they turned it into an effigy of it.
Yeah, the source I had said they put a cardboard mask on him, but in 1685, I'm not sure what sort of cardboard they'd be working with.
That's a good point. Yeah,
I wonder maybe what it was like cardstock or something. Like,
yeah.
But they did make like a face that looked like the Burgermeister.
I wonder if cardboard had the
definition may have changed, or maybe it was just like paper pulp that they just thickened. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Either way, these guys went.
They went to a lot of.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why would they?
The last time I heard like somebody go to this level to like degrade somebody, they were putting him on a piece of wood with some thorns on his head.
These people had like an axe to grind against this guy, like even in death.
I think they should have reinvestigated his death because I think there's several suspects.
They hung it from a gibbet, which is like a wooden kind of structure thing on a hill so that everyone could see it.
Make sure he's on display.
Yeah. And then after a while, they took it down and preserved it and put it in a museum.
No,
I tried to find a picture of it. So I assume that's not out there anymore.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It may have degraded so much that they.
I would hope so. I would really hope anymore. I'd really hope so.
Good Lord.
So that's the end of the story.
That's brutal.
Jesus.
Brutal.
That just illustrates how people react to such things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially back then.
And there's a couple of theories on why it was like that. They think maybe it was a message to the new Burgermeister not to be like quite a
This is what will happen.
Hey, motherfucker.
Like, you see what happened? Yeah,
we'll dress a dog up like you and kill it.
You will find no peace in your death.
Yes.
Man, or it could have been orchestrated by the new Burgermeister to be like, this is a new era.
That's
like, interesting. I didn't like that guy either.
That's a good way of ingratiating yourself to the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And werewolves being associated with the undead is not a new thing either. So that, I think there's other cases of that too, where it's kind of like you die and then come back as a werewolf. I feel like I've heard that before. So.
Well, yeah, if you're already infected with the werewolf virus,
right,
and you're not killed by something that's silver, then
you don't die.
Then you don't die.
What drew me to this story was this image that is like an old etching of a depiction of the corpse hanging from a thing. And you can see like the eyes are just really creepy.
I'll make sure it's posted on our socials.
Nice.
Jerry sent me a picture of it. I'll make sure I post that up.
Yeah, I can't wait to see
just
that.
This mutilated wolf corpse dressed up like a person is.
Oh, that is so weird.
Sitting up there, probably flies smelling around.
No, oh, man, I can't.
The smell.
Oh god,
maggots crawling in out of that motherfucker.
So don't become a Burgermeister.
No. If you are, be a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or we'll kill a dog and dress up like you. Yeah.
All right, Eric, what do you got?
All right. What do you got for us, Eric?
Okay. That was a good one, though. That was something I had not even heard any inkling of. So that was
I had never heard of that. No.
This one, I brought you guys a very strange and unique, to me, tale of werewolfness. We are going to be talking about a man named Thys of Kaltenbrunn, also known as the Livonian werewolf.
Is he from Livonia?
He is from Livonia, which was occupied by Swede? Wow, brain fart. It was, at the time, Swedish Livonia. Okay. So the town was named, here we go, I hate myself for this, Jürgensburg. I think I did it right. Yeah. So Thys was an old man at the start of our tale. This was in 1691, and he was in his 80s. I'm not quite sure what age, but he was called to court by the judges as a possible witness to a case regarding a church robbery. So somebody stole from the church, and they think that these might have seen or heard something. So they... That's it. That's it. That's what put him in front of the judges. And then this wild story comes out.
Oh, shit.
Unprompted, Thies lets them know that he was a werewolf. But he didn't. He had given that up about 10 years prior. This will make more sense as we go, maybe. Yeah. He stopped doing that.
Listen, now
I've got to get some off my chest.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what prompted him to just breathe like that. No, we're aware. But he was very candid about this stuff for the most part. So first of all, he claims that about 10 years prior in 1981, he was brought before he went to the judge, to other judges or, you know, whatever, about a broken nose from a farmer, because the farmer was a witch in hell and Thies had gone there as a werewolf and he had gotten hit in the face with a broom decorated with horsetails and it broke his nose. The judges at that time did not take him very seriously, although they did note he did have a broken nose and just kind of laughed him out of court. Back to 1691. If all of this doesn't make sense, that's okay. It might later. It might not. I don't know.
Does this have something to do with like werewolves versus witches? Because I came across that a couple of times.
Did you?
Which we're going to have to.
We'll have to look into that more.
Because apparently there's like an ancient war between witches and werewolves.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. So
that's a movie waiting to be made. Fun. Werewolves versus witches.
Right?
Yeah. We're going to have to do an episode on this all by itself. This is
WVW.
Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Underworld 7.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. So the judges in 1691 took his claims more seriously than the judges in 81 and started asking him about this stuff. They're like, okay. And they're trying to figure out if this guy's crazy or not. And, you know, so they called in like basically character witnesses who let him know, like, it's like, nah, he seems to be of sound mind. We've never known him to not be. And, you know, whatever. He seems to know. So they start asking him about this stuff. And Thies goes in freely admitting he was a werewolf. What he would do is he used to go out. Oh, you know what? I have a quote. Let me start there with a quote that I pulled up.
Yeah, I come across in my research a few accounts. Like, the first time I heard it was in Penny Dreadful, where they made the...
Yes.
Spoiler alert, they made the werewolf like the Hound of God or something, right?
Well, that's what this guy claimed to be, actually. Ah! So yes, he was a hound of God.
Yeah, see, so there's like a whole thing behind this that
I had no idea about.
Right, yeah.
So Thies' account from the trial record reads as follows. Ordinarily, they went to hell. That's in brackets. You know, it must be in the midst. They went to hell three times during the night of Pentecost, on Midsummer's night, and on St. Lucia's night. As far as the first two nights were concerned, they did not go exactly those nights, but more when the grain was properly blooming, because it is at that time that the seeds are forming. Yes, the seeds are forming that the sorcerer spirited away the blessings and take it to hell from the grain. And it is then that the werewolves take it upon themselves to bring it back again. So they're going into hell to take back, to prevent famine, basically. Bring back the blessings of the seeds and the livestock and stuff like that. And he would say that if they didn't do this or if they failed, it would be a bad harvest that year.
Hmm.
So, yes. So they're going in there to save the harvest from the devil and his witches. Apparently the judges did know that the locals considered Thies to be a werewolf, but they didn't take it too seriously until he started talking trial. And I just imagine them just like, okay, wait, I'm sorry. What? You're going to have to go into more detail here. Because they started asking him questions. It had nothing to do with the church robbery at all at this point. He just ratted himself out.
Whoever robbed that church has been like, thank God.
Can you imagine? No,
let's hear more about the werewolf stuff.
Yeah, tell us more. Tell me more.
Can you imagine that main judge is like, just gets up and walks away? Like, no. I'm 75. Like, I'm retiring tomorrow. If this is true, I don't put this shit on. Yeah.
They seem to be kind of reluctant. Like, honestly, it feels like they tried to give him like chances to be like, you know.
Are you sure you want to say this?
Yeah. Like, are you sure?
We hang werewolves. You know that, right?
So at first he claimed that what they would do in order to transform into, because it was other, there were other people involved, apparently other werewolves. They would, they had wolf pelts that he had gotten from somebody and had passed on to another farmer. They asked him, you know, to identify these people. And that's when his story changed. He said, oh no, we actually just go into the wood, you know, into the bushes naked. And then we turn into werewolves. So I'm more inclined to believe the wolf pelt story from his point of view, because he probably changed his story to save other people.
Well, also the wolf pelt thing shows up.
It does. That's a pretty common history. Putting on the wolf pelt. And so, yeah, let's see. So he also then said, so, okay, there's a wolf pelt thing, yada, yada. But then he claimed he became a werewolf when a quote unquote rascal toasted him, gave him a toast. He said the guy breathed on the jug 3 times and said, you will be like me. And then when he took the jug, he became a werewolf.
So what's a rascal?
I don't know. It was just, it was just in quotes.
Those motorized scooter things. Is that an early appearance?
Walmart to take up 2 aisles.
Like a vagabond. Like Thies said, he was a beggar at the time, and a rat, you know, ran into a rascal, Thies said that he had yet to find anybody like up to the challenge of taking on the lycanthropy from him fighting witches.
Mischievous or cheeky person.
Okay. So a mischievous person toasted him and made him into a werewolf. It's low key. Must have been. Yeah. He's got some association with wolves there himself.
Also known as an unprincipled or dishonest person.
Okay. So interesting word choice there. So yeah. So he, again, and you know, and they would question him like, okay, so what happens to the werewolves when they die? And he said, well, they go to heaven. They don't go to hell because they hate the devil and they're working for God, you know, and they're like, the judges aren't quite jiving with this. And so then they start like, okay, are you a good Lutheran? Do you attend church and say your prayers and stuff like that? I know they're like trying.
This is the case where they're like, all right, after this, we have to start telling people. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you like, listen, we can't just stumble into this shit again.
They're like, you know, good Lutheran, are you showing up to the, you know, the whatever? And he goes, no, I'm too old to understand that stuff. And they're like,
oh man. My God.
So then they're like, okay, tell us about this, because it came out too that he was also a folk magic practice folk magic.
They're just trying to bail water for this guy.
They are. And so then they asked him, you know, okay, like what sort of stuff do you do there for that? And
fuck.
Yeah, he's like, oh well, you know, I do these blessings that help, you know, drive off wolves, save people's crops, stuff like that. And they had him, you know, tell him what the blessings were that he recited, and there was no mention of Christ or God in the blessings.
Of course.
They're like, well, fuck, you're, you know,
pagan.
Yeah. And heresy to boot. You might lead other people away from God. So that's heresy, and you can't have that.
Well, and we all know about heresy.
Yeah.
We're experts in heresy.
We are. Yes. So that actually is what God... They didn't condemn him for the werewolf stuff. They condemned him because of the, you know, the lack of God in his blessing. And he was sentenced to being flogged and banished. And that's the last we've heard of.
And then he moved into the place behind the lakes.
He got paid.
Yeah. So that's story of the Hound of God.
Can you imagine, he's just sitting there pouring that shit out, and they're all like, stop. I didn't ask you that.
I feel like they were trying to give him so many chances. Like, hey, guys, is he maybe crazy? No? Fuck. Okay.
Do you like God?
Do you like God? You do. Oh, great. Are you a good Lutheran? No, fuck. Come on, these.
This amendment.
And even then, they took it easy on him. They just banished. And you know, the flogging was probably like a wet spaghetti noodle. And they're like, now get out of here.
Now leave. Go back to your hut in the woods and werewolf it up, I guess.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know. Their version of banishment is like, the town line is here. Can you just move your hut 2 inches to the left so we can officially say you don't belong to us?
Oh, good Lord. Shit. All that from like someone else robbing a church, and Thies just comes in running his mouth.
Man. Jeez. But that wolf versus witch stuff, that's wild.
Isn't
we've
it?
Yeah. Got to get into
I
that.
Wonder where that came from and I what else there is to it.
There's a bit. Yeah. I don't know if there's a lot, but there's more than you would feel comfortable with when it's the topic of werewolf versus witch.
Yeah.
Sounds like it might be some good content for Cult of Lore to go into there.
Okay.
Yeah, I, you know, so they, Jerry just said, you know, the werewolf and witch trials. wonder if it was like, no, no, we're the good guys. They're the bad guys.
Oh, yeah. I'll bet. Yeah, that could be it. So there you go. I found the weirdest werewolf story I could. And brought
that
it.
That is
that's great.
One that I've heard thus far.
It's cool to see one like not like the wolf isn't for Satan. It's like
right
the other way.
He's the good guy.
He couldn't. Yeah. Stay. Yeah, he's like, I can't stand the devil. And they're like, well, why do you go to hell? And they're like, well, to save you guys.
And not just that, but it's also the reverse. Like in these trials, you usually hear where they're like, it's like, okay, if you confess, we'll drown you. If you don't confess, we'll drown you. But this one, they're like, stop. Yeah. Knock it off. Shut your mouth.
We're not here for this.
Give us anything, Thies. We'll let you off the hook with anything at this point. Please.
Help
you. Yes.
Thies, the hell thing is cool and all, but about the church break-in, Thies. No, I understand witches, devils, feast. Break-in. Stolen money.
Yeah. Luckiest church robber in the world, whoever was
that
trial. Yeah.
Yeah, they were relieved, I'm sure.
That derailed the trial.
My ass, because he's probably sitting there going like, oh my God, there's a hell and witches and werewolves are fighting in it. I gotta get to church.
Gotta get to church.
Oh, hey, I saved that guy. There you go.
Yeah.
That was fantastic. Great little mix of werewolf shit we had here on this.
Yeah, that was a good variety.
Werewolves, dogmen, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Went all over the place with them.
Good guys, bad guys.
Historical. Yeah, Europe, United States, all over the place.
Modern, old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So the way I've been ending these encounters when we have people on is we talk about werewolves today. So what is your guys' favorite werewolf movies? We do like talking about movies here at Cult-tober. So
yeah,
I'll go first. I have a two-way split. Okay. I will not pick. There's Dog Soldiers. I love Dog Soldiers.
Yeah.
And then Silver Bullet. Okay. I love Silver Bullet.
Good one. Yeah.
Silver Bullet. Gary Busey in that is amazing.
Oh, he's amazing in that. I love Gary Busey in that movie.
Yeah. Good acting chops on him. It really shows.
People forget how good of an actor he can be.
I'm going to say, because I watched it recently, Cursed.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's surprised me because I hadn't seen it.
Okay.
Oh, is that the Wes Craven one?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
With Christina Ricci.
Yeah, Christina Ricci, and it's like real camp. And
Jesse
Eisenberg's in it, and I was watching it, and there was all these actors in it that are like more famous now.
Now.
Yeah. And they just have like minor parts in this movie. Yeah. Like Nick Offerman is in it for like 2 seconds.
Nice.
And I think Michael Rosenbaum, the guy that plays Lex Luthor in Smallville,
he's
got a part in it.
He's good.
Milo, I can't think of what is the guy, he comes out as gay, but he's like the bully in it.
Yeah.
He's more famous now. He was in Heroes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The one that has that kind of side talking mouth. What's really cool about him is he played Rocky's son. And when you put them side by side, you're like, whoa.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, not to interject too much.
No, it's okay. I have such a hard time picking favorites, especially when it comes to werewolf movies. But I'm going to go with American Werewolf in London.
Nice.
That's a good solid werewolf movie.
Yeah, it's a great one.
I like the lore in that one, too.
More traditional with the pentagram.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. American Werewolf in London is fantastic. Have you ever seen American Werewolf in Paris?
You know what? I like it, but for
really
completely different reasons.
Huh,
they didn't have to be connected at all.
No.
But I like the werewolf design in that just the CGI is not good.
No, the CGI is bad.
But I like what they were going for with it.
I'm not a fan of that one. My favorite's Dog Soldiers. That's one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, Dog Soldiers is so good.
I love that flick. I like Bad Moon. That's a movie I really like.
Ooh.
Is that the one where the dog's the main character?
The dog is the hero in that one. Yeah, that's a great one. That was originally slated for this Cult-tober, but I changed it to appease Mike so he could do those Sunday PG movies.
Next year,
I'll have to throw it back on there. And then also like Wolf Cop. Wolf Cop's
on my God. Movies.
I've heard good things about Wolf Cop.
It's a badass flick. It's a good one.
Interesting.
It's about a cop who turns into a wolf. If you didn't catch that,
right? No. Oh man, there was subtlety in the title.
I didn't want it to go over your head.
Right.
Yeah,
I
can't wait for the team up of
Beard Extended
Rap Master. the Were Velociraptor Pastor.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen that one. That movie looked too bad for me. I seen stills of it. You gotta have, for me to like a bad movie, it's gotta have like some charm to it. It just looked cheap. I don't know. I don't like cheap movies. I usually don't like movies that have bad movie sounding names, because it's like, I feel
Sharknado,
like that.
What are you talking about?
Hey, I don't like the first one.
No, Sharknado 2 went on.
Why don't you like
the first one? The first one's boring. That's the worst sin a movie can commit is being boring. I don't care how bad it is, as long as they're fun. First one's boring as hell, but then in the second moving forward, they really caught traction and they made them fun and they're campy and they're tongue in cheek and there's throwing shit at you just to throw shit at you. There's cameos out the ass for like no reason, because everyone was like, I want to be in a Sharknado movie, so they put everyone. I love those movies, but no, I usually don't like movies that are like Velocipasters. I've seen stills of it and I was like, God, they bought fucking raptor gloves from Jurassic World at Walmart, stuck them on this guy. I was like, I have no interest in that. That's just too cheap for me. That'd be my top three if I had to say. But Dog Soldier's definitely number one. I love that flick.
Dog Soldier's, it's got everything in spades. Like, it's got great acting, it's got good action. The werewolves are frightening as fuck.
Yeah,
like, it's just good.
Yeah, stuff. Neil Marshall had a lot going for him for a while. But I watched that new movie he had come out earlier this year, and that was fucking awful.
What was it?
I forget what it's called.
Unremarkable.
Everyone was like, oh, it's like he was going back to his Dog Soldier's roots, what everyone kept saying, because it's like an action movie. It's like this outpost in Afghanistan, they somehow like uncover like a terrorist laboratory where these like monsters are being made, and they release them and they attack the outpost, all the soldiers to fight these things. And it was really cheap and really bad, and the main character is doing an impression of Brad Pitt from Inglourious Basterds. He's just doing an impression of, and it's really distracting. It's really distracting. It doesn't make any sense why he's doing it. He's just doing Brad Pitt from fucking Inglourious Bastards for some reason. It was really boring too, which I don't like that.
The same guy that did Dog Soldiers did The Descent.
Yeah.
How did I never know that? The Lair, is that what it was?
That's bad. It's pretty bad. It's on Shudder, I think, now. I think it was like a Shudder original. Man,
he did the failed Hellboy too.
Yeah, he did failed Hellboy. He did Doomsday, which Doomsday gets way more shit than it deserves. I actually kind of like that movie.
Doomsday.
But also he did Black Sails, he did Game of Thrones, he did Constantine,
he did some good stuff.
Well, which part of Game of Thrones?
two episodes.
What season?
It doesn't say.
Oh, that's okay.
He did an episode of Hannibal.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But man, that Hellboy, man.
I haven't watched that.
He did Lost in Space as well. Fuck that.
Oh, really? I never watched that. I didn't have any interest in watching that. I love the 90s one for the wrong reasons.
I do too.
Yeah.
For probably the same reasons you do.
Yeah. Just fucking. I remember everyone thought that was going to be like Joey's like big break.
It should have been. You know what? He did just fine in that movie.
He did do just fine. But it was like that, everyone thought that was like his vehicle. And then it just like nothing happened from it. Uh-huh. I remember having, I had the action figures from that. I had a whole little get up of him. You know, the little mask thing. I had that. That
was badass.
I had that thing.
The icon on it where he's taking on them spiders. Man, that shit's still good.
Yeah, that was good. But,
yeah, anyway.
That was all of us talking about werewolf stuff. These encounters episodes are something fun me and Bailey do. Usually for all of our specials, we'll pick a topic and just do real life encounters with it, 'cause it's fun to talk about conspiracies, but it's really fun to talk about these things that people kind of pass off, but there's real reports of real people encountering things. So
yeah,
it's always fun to talk about them and discuss.
And there's got to be, if this is real, there's got to be a conspiracy to cover it up.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, the land between the lakes thing is really interesting. I meant to dig into more of that.
That does maybe sound it might come like on more, but huh?
it's very rooted in conspiracy. Because there's even like the campsite where this supposedly happened. Apparently, like an investigative team like found the campsite a few years back. Apparently, found like were able to somehow find like the campsite where like the pad for the RV was, and it was just kind of buried back in like the woods. They found like shreds of like police tape in the dirt, as they kind of like it's just stuff like that, but everyone denies it was ever happened. It's just an urban legend, but that's how most conspiracies come out anyway. So
Yeah.
But super interesting stuff here. Bailey couldn't join us through the whole episode, but we'll be back next week. Me and Bailey will be here to talk about the Hopkinsville Goblins. That's going to be a fun episode.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we were going to do a Goblins Encounters episodes, but more I was like, let's just do this one. I was like, there's not really that many interesting Goblins Encounters. Yeah.
I you can pair Goblins with like the Puck Wedgie.
Yeah,
with Puck Wedgie. Like, and then...
I had a friend's dad who told me he encountered a Puck Wedgie when I was a kid. He'd like tell me all the time about it. At Pike Lake, if anyone's familiar with Ohio... It's a little lake down south. Yeah, he swore by it that him and his friend...
You saw a Puck Wedgie there?
Yeah, really? He swore by it that him and his friend were hiking through there when they were kids, and this little fucking thing came out and chased them out of the woods and back on the trail, and it stopped that. When it got to the trail, it stopped and just was gone.
So what the puck is a Puck Wedgie?
So a Puck Wedgie is a Native American leprechaun.
Yeah.
If you look up the description of a Puck Wedgie, you're like, okay, so if this was in Ireland, we'd call this motherfucker a leprechaun.
Okay, yep. Interesting. All right, thank you. Yeah. Me and Terry were confused.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird like Native American legends like that. And the werewolves deeply tie in with Native American legend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really interesting when you start reading about werewolves and you get on the dogmen, the skinwalker, the wendigo.
Yeah.
Because they'll kind of all blend in. There's certain aspects from each of those that kind of come in a different encounter. So it's really interesting. Yeah, to read that kind of stuff. Bailey and I were going to do like a dog. We were going to do a werewolf encounters, and we were going to do a skinwalkers encounters at one point too for this month. And then the more we got to think about, I was like, kind of just put them in the same thing. I think it's like it was kind of like splitting hairs at that point when you're reading the encounters. So we was like, let's just make one.
I don't know. I think the skinwalker one would be interesting. Let the audience will let you know if they want a skinwalker.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And we'll definitely be talking about skinwalkers at some point because. You know, there's some interesting legends that involve them. So, but this month, Cult-tober is rolling on. We're in our second week of Cult-tober. Ooh. And it's a big month ahead. Tomorrow, I believe it's myself, Ben, Eric, Urs, I think are going to be watching Splinter, a mid-2000s creature feature. So, and that was Urs's suggestion, which surprised me because I've been talking about this movie for a while. So
you have,
yes. Urs brought up, and we're going to watch that tomorrow. And then this Friday, it's Friday the 13th.
Can't miss that bandwagon.
Yeah, nope. And of course, Friday the 13th, we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Or Halloween.
We're talking about the Friday the 13th franchise. We're going to be talking not just Friday the 13th, but the whole franchise.
Yeah.
Shooting the shit about it. It's a pretty lax episode, but it's really good. We just talk about all things Friday the 13th.
Because that's a rare opportunity.
Yeah, that's Friday an opportunity.
You know, October.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that.
Oh, absolutely not. And then this Sunday, we'll have Halloween Town, everyone's favorite Disney Channel original movie. We talk about that, so that'd be fun. But yeah, this week's rolling on, and the next Tuesday we're back here for Hopkinsville Goblins. So make sure you guys keep an eye on all things Cult Talk Net at Cult Talk Net Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Threads, X. I think now I don't think it's Twitter, it's X now. I have no idea.
I don't get it.
I have no idea. It freaked me out. It freaked me out because I have a Twitter app on my phone. I don't use it. Because Mike signed into like Twitter. He does the CTN Twitter. But I had the app on my phone and I was like scrolling on my phone and I just see like this ominous app with just X on it. And I didn't know what it was. I was like freaked out. I was like, what is this? Like I was like trying to figure out. I was like some kind of fraud thing got downloaded on my phone or something.
It's just, part of a human trafficking ring now.
Yeah, it was weird. I was like, I didn't want to click on it, so I had to Google it, and it was like, oh, that's Twitter now. I was like, oh. But it freaked me out because it was just this black box with a white X to it. I didn't know what it was.
That is, yeah, that would be creepy.
Yeah, so I guess Elon just changed up the branding. And then Threads, which is the other Twitter thing that Mike does now. So. Yeah. All kinds of social media. Most social medias, I'm sure you go to it. It's at Cult Talk Net. But keep an eye out for all the Cult-tober shit we have coming out. Cult of Lore's got you guys having another episode coming out here next week, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Be the third Thursday. So, yeah, you guys will be having an episode coming out.
So that one's Demonculava.
Oh, no.
I think that's H.P. Lovecraft.
That one's H.P.
So I've already been traumatized.
Oh, that Demonculava stuff was wild. I had to go find the pictures for the Twitter, for the thumbnails. Like I heard the name when you guys mentioned it, and I like I was like, oh, maybe it's some kind of demon spider thing. Just got,
it is not.
And it kind of is a little bit.
It's, I mean, yeah.
There's eight limbs there. So it's kind of, I wasn't too far off when I wasn't ready for what I was, you know, looking at.
when I Googled
the images, but I wasn't too far off, I guess. But that's a great episode. Make sure you guys check that out. But there you guys have it. This has been a Cult Talk Conspiracy. We're doing an episode every week through October. So make sure you guys join us. We have, I think, another guest coming up here soon. So we'll let you guys know on our next episode who that is, who guest number three is for Cult-tober. But I think that does it for us, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you guys for being on. And we'll have more collabs coming up soon, I'm sure. There'll be more things coming. There's something cooking. So make sure you guys keep your ears out for that. But until next time, I've been Ty.
I've been Eric.
I've been Ben.
And this has been a howling good time.
Oh my, you bastard.
And until next time.
Question everything.